is on your belly. Lifting weights after you finish your diet will help you trim and tone those arms after you slim them down. Are your hormones putting pounds on you? One thing that truly can throw a monkey wrench into your weight loss efforts is a sex hormone imbalance. What's more, these imbalances don't happen only in middle age. In reality, they can start as early as your late 20s or early 30s. This may be the underlying culprit if you're suffering symptoms like these: rapid weight gain, fatigue, thinning hair, mood swings, insomnia, loss of interest in sex, brain fog, breast tenderness, fluid retention, vaginal dryness. Problems with thyroid hormones also can make it tough to lose weight and make you feel miserable all over. If it turns out that your hormones are wonky, you'll want to tackle the problem before you try to lose your belly fat. Before you start your diet, consider checking your hormones to make sure they are in order. You can order these tests at yourlabwork.com/dr-kellyanne. If you uncover a problem, find a doctor who is knowledgeable about natural solutions, including bioidentical hormones. These are natural, not synthetic hormones, and they're safer for your body. What to expect on your diet day by day? Lots of my patients think I'm psychic. That's because when they're dieting, I say such things as, "Tomorrow you're going to feel bloated," or, "In a day or two, you're going to feel like hitting someone." And my predictions almost always come true. However, I don't have any psychic powers. I've simply guided people on this path so many times that I know every twist, turn, and bump in it. And I want you to know about each one as well, so you won't be caught by surprise. Here's a quick peek at what you can expect day by day if you follow the typical pattern. And you don't need to take my word for it. These are real comments from the people in my test panel group, along with the advice I gave them. Day 1. I was mentally preparing myself with self-pep talks. "You got this," kind of stuff. Plus imagining what it would be like to be down 10 pounds in just over a week. I was nervous about being hungry, and I was a little apprehensive about having to make all the shakes and broths with greens. Dr. Kellyanne's advice: it's typical to cycle between being excited and being nervous on day 1. Just like you do at the start of any adventure. This is a good time to talk with supportive peeps who will keep you inspired. Day 2. Early on, I was thinking, this isn't too bad. I think I was feeling really positive. Later in the day, it felt rough, but I just went to bed. Dr. Kellyanne's advice: around the end of day 2, the excitement starts to wear off, and that 10-day mark starts to seem pretty far away. Hang in there, and reread your notes about why you're undertaking this challenge. Also, make sure you're drinking plenty of broth and including those healthy fats in your meals. Days 3 and 4. These 2 days were the worst, and I really wanted to punch you. No offense. I felt like I was just white-knuckling it. Someone in the group said they had a headache on days 3 and 4. Dr. Kellyanne's advice: this is the carb flu I'm going to talk about later in this chapter. Remember, it's temporary, and it's your signal that your body is switching from burning sugar to burning fat. This is the biggest key to blasting your belly fat, so it's a great sign. Also remember that if you're in your eating window, you can have a few bites of avocado, a handful of unsweetened coconut chips, or some rinsed olives to perk you up. Day 5. One person in our group wrote that they felt amazing on this day, and I commented, "I'm feeling amazing too, and I've lost several pounds already, and my body feels less puffy." Dr. Kellyanne's advice: you may hit this happy stage a little sooner or later in your own diet, but when you do, you're going to feel like the Energizer Bunny. Many of my patients also tell me that they feel friskier, so you might plan on a little romance. Day 6. Felt some hunger on this day, but I think I felt like I was approaching the top of the hill on a long hike. Told myself I had completed more days than I had left. Dr. Kellyanne's advice. This is a big milestone. Treat yourself to something special, a book, some bubble bath, or a new pair of shoes to celebrate being more than halfway done. Day 7. Someone in our group said, I feel bloated and have a slight headache. Another person said, my sugar cravings subsided and I don't feel hungry at all. Dr. Kellyanne's advice. Ah, the bloat. This may kick in around day 7 or 8. Because you're changing your body's internal ecosystem, firing up good microbes, kicking out bad ones, and adjusting to a diet that's higher in fiber. As a result, you may temporarily experience bloating, diarrhea, or constipation. This internal housekeeping stage will pass quickly. So don't kill me if your waistline actually feels a little bigger for a day or two. Days 8 and 9. At this point, I was in the home stretch, not feeling too hungry, no real cravings. So it felt like that last sprint to the finish where you find fresh drive to get there. Dr. Kellyanne's advice. Right now, you're probably experiencing 3 emotions. Joy that your belly is smaller, excitement that you're nearing the finish line, and a little bit of fear about whether you'll keep that belly fat off. But you don't need to be scared. You know me now. I've got you covered. Once you finish your diet, I'll introduce you to my Slim Belly Forever plan, which will keep those pounds off for good without forcing you to starve or give up your favorite foods. From this point on, food won't control you. You now understand not only how different foods taste, but how they make you feel. And this is life-changing. No more aimless eating. Eating now will be a choice, not a cheat. Day 10. By the last day, I had really found my groove and hunger was gone. Like all hunger. Dr. Kellyanne's advice. Congratulations, you did it! You're a 10-day belly slim-down graduate and you're slim, beautiful, and radiant. Send me some selfies. I can't wait to see how fabulous you look. Success story. Doreen Martin. Weight lost, 8.2 pounds. Belly inches lost, 1.25. Doreen says, bone broth was new to me. I like how easy the diet was to follow. She feels terrific about jump-starting her weight loss and plans to lose more on my 21-day bone broth diet. With this sneak preview of your 10 days, you can tackle your diet confidently. And now, are you ready to meet the 2 diet foes that will try to derail you? Here's a look at each one. Foe number 1, the sugar demon. We're genetically wired to love sugar. In fact, it's actually addictive. Now you know why it's so hard to turn down that candy bar. This used to be a good thing, because for our early ancestors, sugar was scarce and came in the healthy forms of berries and honey. So back then, eating sugar was pro-survival. Now, however, sugar is everywhere, and it's packaged in all kinds of junk food that makes us sick. Worse yet, a few decades ago, scientists figured out a way to make sugar from corn, creating what's called high-fructose corn syrup. Our politicians loved the idea because 50% of our sugar came from countries selling us sugarcane. Now we could make more sugar ourselves. Farmers liked the idea as well because getting incentives to grow more corn sounded good. And food manufacturers loved high-fructose corn syrup because it was a cheaper alternative to cane sugar. It was also such a good preservative that they began adding it to foods that hadn't had sugar in them before. And what did we consumers think? We loved it. After all, it was even sweeter than regular sugar, so we were hooked. As a result, we're now consuming more sugar than ever. Researchers analyzing data from the Centers for Disease Control estimate that by the year 2050, 95% of the U.S. population will be obese or overweight, mostly due to excessive sugar intake. What's the answer? Well, you won't like this, but the best solution is to go cold turkey and cut sugar completely out of your diet. At first, you might think that life without sugar isn't worth living, but believe it or not, when you cut sugar out of your diet, you'll eventually stop craving it. Luckily, right now, I'm not asking you to make a lifelong commitment. I'm just asking you for 10 days. You can do that, right? What's more, I have some powerful tips that will help you face down that sugar demon. Here they are. The average craving lasts only 3 minutes, so distract yourself by playing a game on your phone, taking a walk, or calling a friend. Protein and fat help quell cravings, so drink a cup of bone broth. Or, if you're in your eating window, eat a few rinsed olives, a tiny bit of avocado, or some unsweetened coconut chips. Try a technique called urge surfing. A psychologist named G. Allen Marlatt came up with this years ago, and it's awesome. It's a lot like mindful meditation, which I talk about in Chapter 10. Here's how it works. When a craving strikes, instead of fighting it, acknowledge it in a non-judgmental way. First, identify where you're feeling the craving most strongly. Is it in your belly, your mouth, or elsewhere? Pay attention to that area and notice the sensations you're experiencing, such as warmth or tingling. Now pay attention to your breathing for a minute or two, and then shift your attention back to the area where you experienced the craving. Alternate focusing on your breathing and on the area in which you feel the craving. As the craving increases and decreases, picture it as a wave you're riding. Realize that eventually you'll reach the shore and that craving will be gone. The more you practice this technique, the easier it will get for you to resist cravings. It's especially effective if you combine it with regular sessions of mindful meditation. When you experience a particularly powerful craving, immediately stop what you're doing and think of a way to commit a random act of kindness. Whether it's emailing your mom to say hi, ordering a bouquet of flowers for a friend who's feeling low, or calling your sweetie and saying I love you. The time it takes to plan your act of kindness, along with the warm and fuzzy feeling you get from performing it, will help banish your craving. Above all, keep your mind on how happy you'll be at the end of 10 days. Think about the sexy clothes you'll be able to wear and about the fun of showing off your new flat belly on the beach at a party or in bed. That's better than a candy bar or a cookie any day, right? How sugar is making you look old and why it might kill you. Want more reasons to give up your sugar fix? I'm happy to oblige. Sugar ages your skin big time. When you eat sugar, it reacts with amino acids to form compounds called advanced glycation end products, or AGEs. These prematurely age your skin, leading to age spots, wrinkles, sags, and bags. Seriously. Ick. In one interesting study, researchers asked participants to look at photos of a group of people of similar ages who had varying levels of blood glucose. The viewers rated diabetics as looking older than non-diabetics, and among non-diabetics, the researchers say higher glucose levels were correlated with a higher perceived age. So here's another trick to try when you have a craving. Think of that cookie or candy bar as a wrinkle waiting to happen. Or picture people looking at a photo of you and saying, wow, she hasn't aged well. I bet that sweet treat will instantly look a lot less appealing. Sugar ups your risk for cancer. A 2016 study of mice by researchers at the MD Anderson Cancer Center found that diets high in sugar can markedly increase the risk for breast cancer development and metastasis. Sugar hurts your heart and blood vessels. Researchers report that people who eat the most sugar are nearly 3 times more likely to die from cardiovascular disease than those eating the least. Even people in the middle range have a one-third higher risk compared to the sugar shunners. This is true even when weight and exercise are factored in. Sugar messes with your telomeres. Telomeres are the protective end caps on your DNA. Think of them as a little like the caps or aglets that keep your shoelaces from unraveling. Researchers at UC San Francisco found the telomeres in white blood cells of people who drink lots of sugary soda are shorter. The result, the researchers explain, is accelerated cellular aging of tissues. I could go on. Sugar can also mess with your cholesterol, up your risk for rheumatoid arthritis, and give you belly bloat. But I think you get the picture. In many ways, this addictive white powder is as bad for you as cocaine. It's time to get this monkey off your back. Foe number two, the carb flu. On this diet, you're going to flip your fat-burning switch from off to on. That's because when you cut out the carbs, your cells will start burning fat instead of sugar for fuel. As a result, you'll become an awesome fat-burning machine. Flipping this switch is the key to nuking your belly fat. It's the solution you've been seeking ever since you first looked at your belly in a dressing room mirror and said, "Oh, crap." However, flipping your switch to fat-burning mode can result in temporary symptoms I call carb flu. It's not fun, but the good news is that it goes away fast, and if you're ready for it, it won't kill your diet. Here's the deal. Right now, if you're eating a diet that's high in carbs, your cells are lazy. You're constantly bathing them in sugar so they don't need to work hard to get the fuel they need. Burning fat takes more work, and at first, your cells will be ticked off about this. As a result, for 3 to 7 days, you may feel tired, cranky, wired, and weird. This isn't fun, but it's actually a great sign, because it tells you that you're switching over to rapid fat-burning mode. Here's a look at some of the symptoms you may experience when the carb flu sets in. You may feel tired. It's perfectly normal to run out of steam on carb flu days. If you can, keep your schedule light, and maybe even take a nap or go to bed early. A little coffee can help, but don't overdose on it or you'll feel worse. You may feel fluish. You might feel tired or foggy-headed or get the sniffles, but it's not really a bug. It's just a temporary system overhaul. You may get moody. Your brain isn't happy right now because it's used to that heavy load of sugar and carbs. This moodiness, by the way, is related to your changing blood sugar levels. As you continue to eat real foods, you'll get your blood sugar under control and feel happy again. You may feel icky. Digestive disturbances, allergies, and even a little acne may appear at this time. Remember that this is your body removing toxins and healing itself. At the end, you'll be rewarded with a smaller belly, clearer skin, glossier hair, and glowing health. The key to getting through the carb flu is to know why it's happening and understand that it's temporary. Once you're past it, your body will burn fat effortlessly, and you'll feel like $1 million. In the meantime, you can take steps to make the carb flu easier on you. Here are 3 tips for easing your symptoms. If you're hungry during this time and you're within your eating window, eat a handful of unsweetened coconut chips, a few pieces of avocado, or some olives with the salt rinsed off. Rinsing olives is a good idea in general because it reduces your intake of salt, which can bloat you. This little hit of fat can make you feel better fast. Journal every day. This will help you spot the signs of carb flu and recognize when it's over. Diet with a friend if you can. You can give each other moral support when the carb flu strikes and remind each other that it'll soon be history. Success story. Monica Mirza. Weight lost 8.4 pounds. Belly inches lost, 1.5. Monica says, I enjoyed all the food and the broth. I never felt hungry, and it was smooth sailing for me. I had no problems. She's happy with her beautiful skin, and she's even more delighted that she slept well during her diet. I've had horrible problems sleeping through the night, she says, so this really helped. Remember these keys to success. Keep your eating window short. Condensing your eating into a short window of time will be one of your biggest keys to success. So don't fudge on your timing. If you absolutely need to change a mealtime due to an emergency, get right back on track the next day. Prep your broth, proteins, veggies, berries, and shakes. When you're dashing around in the morning or you're tired after a busy day, batch prep will make your meal preparation a snap. Refer to Chapter 4 for info on batch cooking before you start your diet. Get friends and family on board. Let everyone know ahead of time that you're doing the diet and ask them to support you. Refer to Chapter 10 for advice on dealing with people who may try to sabotage you instead. Avoid alcohol. I know it's tempting, but even one drink can derail your diet, so stay strong. You can celebrate with a glass of champagne when you're done. Resist cheats. If the carb flu strikes and you're within your eating window, you can eat a handful of rinsed olives, a few pieces of avocado, or a handful of unsweetened coconut chips. Be careful to avoid any foods that aren't on the plan. Go easy on yourself. If you're used to doing intense workouts, you may want to give yourself a break while you're on your diet. Listen to your body and rest if you need to. If you're full of energy, try the workouts in Chapter 9. If not, stick to walking or other gentle exercise. Keep your goals in mind. If you're tempted to cheat, just think about how great your new slim belly will look in that swimsuit, those skinny jeans, or that little black dress. Keeping that vision firmly in mind will help you stay strong. Let us help. We're here to give you moral support and make sure your diet is a big success. We'll be delighted to answer your questions, give you guidance, and cheer you on. Contact us at info@drkellyanne.com or visit our resources page at 10daybellyslimdown.com/gift. Want still more help? On Facebook, you'll find a huge, fun, and supportive 10-Day Belly Slim Down group at facebook.com/drkellyanne. Game on! At this point, you know what to eat and what not to eat on your diet. You know what to expect on each day of your diet. And you know about the two enemies that will try to sabotage you and how to stop them. In short, you're ready for action. And nothing can stop you. Pick your starting day, do your batch prep, and let's blast that belly fat. Part 2. Belly blasting broths, shakes, and meals. The easy and delicious recipes you'll find in your PDF will burn the fat off you like crazy while they quell your cravings and keep you satisfied from head to toe. With dozens of recipes to choose from, every meal will be a new adventure. And your meal prep will be super easy with my batch cooking tips, shopping lists, and 10-day meal plan. Chapter 4. Make it a cinch with a little prep. To kiss your belly fat goodbye, you need to eat the right foods. And you can't get those foods from a fast food restaurant or a prefab meal in a grocery store freezer. Instead, you're going to be eating clean, natural foods for the next 10 days. And I'll be honest, that's not as effortless as grabbing a burger and fries or tossing a plastic container into the microwave. However, I have a simple solution for you. Batch prep. Batch prep is a huge trend these days because more and more people want to eat right. But who has time to cook every day? The smart way to solve this problem is to do some work ahead of time, buying or cooking lots of the foods you'll need. That way you'll have a fully loaded fridge, freezer, and pantry waiting for you when it's time to cook or eat. Note that you have two options. A super easy, almost no cooking option. With this option, you'll only need to whip up some easy salad dressings and cook a burger one night. Otherwise, you'll buy everything ready to go at the store or online. How simple is that? A fun in the kitchen option. With this option, you'll spend a few hours in the kitchen batch cooking, so you'll have meals ready to eat when you want them. Invite some friends over and make it a batch cooking party. It'll take you a little time to cook or shop for everything you need. But once you're done with this list, your meals for the entire 10 days will be nearly done. Nice, right? Option 1. Almost no cooking. With this option, nearly all your prep involves shopping, so you can head straight for your shopping list in your PDF. Two notes before you go shopping. You're going to go through a lot of bone broth for this diet plan, so be sure to get plenty of this liquid gold. Don't skimp on the amount on your shopping list. Over the course of your 10-day plan, you'll make a few dressings for your evening slim plate meals. They're delicious and take only 3 to 5 minutes to prepare. Option 2. Fun in the kitchen. Note, this batch cooking plan is for one dieter. Here's how to prepare for the first 5 days using the meal plan and recipes found in your PDF. You're going to need a lot of bone broth for this diet plan, so make a double batch of one of the broth recipes before you start. If you start to run low, it's easy to prepare another batch during your diet days, so keep extra bones on hand. Roast a chicken or buy a rotisserie chicken that does not have sugar or dextrose added. Make chicken vegetable soup and spicy Mexican soup. If you decide not to make these broth-loading soups, you can enjoy bone broth with your favorite greens during the broth-loading period of the day. Make the asparagus and tomato salad. Make the spicy coleslaw. Make the no-bean chili for days 5 and 7 and freeze it pre-portioned or prepare it later in the week. You'll only need half the recipe for your food plan, but if you choose, make the full recipe and freeze it pre-portioned for later. On day 4, prepare the creamy broccoli soup that you'll enjoy on days 5 and 7. You can also prepare this ahead and freeze it if it's easier for you. On day 4 or 5, you can begin preparing for the next 5 days. Keep that bone broth simmering. Make watercress soup and creamy tomato Florentine soup. If you decide not to make these broth-loading soups, you can enjoy bone broth with your favorite greens during the broth-loading period of the day. Prepare unstuffed cabbage. You'll only need half the recipe for your food plan, but if you choose, make the full recipe and freeze it pre-portioned for later. Prepare lemon rosemary chicken with cauliflower rice. Or wait until day 8. It's quick and easy to make. You'll only need half the recipe for your food plan, but if you choose, make the full recipe and freeze it pre-portioned for later. Your 10-day meal plan. This meal plan uses the foods you batch cooked or bought. Here's how it works. In the slim plate sections of these meal plans, you'll find options for both cooked and no-cook, or almost no-cook, meals. In the broth loading phase, you can make a broth loading soup or simply drink broth with leafy greens added. In the shake section, you can pick a recipe or simply make your own shake, as long as it follows the rules for shakes. Phase 1. Wake up time till noon. Broth burning. Phase 2. Between noon and 1 p.m. Slimming shake or quick and easy slimming shake. Phase 3. Afternoon and evening till 6 or 7 p.m. Broth loading, or quick and easy broth loading with broth and greens. Phase 4, between 6 and 7 p.m. A perfect plate meal, or quick and easy perfect plate meal. Almost no cooking. Note, There's a printable, detailed version of this plan in your PDF, as well as on the resources page on my website, 10daybellyslimdown.com/gift. Refer to your PDF for your 10-day meal plan, days 1 through 5 and days 6 through 10. Your shopping lists. To make sure you have all the ingredients you'll need for this meal plan, I've created two shopping lists, one for the almost no cooking option and one for the fun in the kitchen option, that will set you up for the entire 10 days. Each list is divided into two sections, one section for your first shopping trip and one section for restocking before your second 5 days. There are printable versions of these on the resources page on my website, 10daybellyslimdown.com/gift, that you can take to the store. You can also find these shopping lists in your PDF. So, take a quick trip to the store to load up on everything you'll need and do a little batch prep. Then pat yourself on the back, because you've set yourself up for success. Chapter 5. Busted Out with Bone Broth. Now that you know all about luscious, satisfying bone broth, my fat-blasting liquid gold, I know you're eager to make your first batch, and I can't wait for you to try it. In this chapter, you'll find a wealth of recipes for basic broths and spice-packed variations to enjoy during your broth-burning phase, as well as veggie-rich broths for your broth-loading phase. Take your pick, because every single recipe is loaded with fat-burning power. And before you start, I want to reassure you about something. You really can't do this wrong. After I wrote Dr. Kellyanne's Bone Broth Diet, I got thousands of emails from dieters who worried they'd cooked their broth too long or not long enough. I also got emails from dieters who were afraid they'd picked the wrong bones or that their broth wasn't jiggly enough. Bone broth normally jiggles when you chill it because of the gelatin in it. Seriously, people were freaking out. Well, I'm going to tell you exactly what I told them. Relax. I'm going to give you some tips for making the best broth, but you don't need to obsess over this. If you can throw half a dozen ingredients into a sturdy stock pot and turn on a stove burner, you're good to go. Trust me, it's not rocket science. I mean, think about it. The earliest humans made bone broth over a fire while wearing animal skins. And we're talking about people who'd barely discovered fire. Clearly, it's not that hard. That said, there are some tricks for getting the most nutrition and jiggle from your broth. Here they are. Buy bones with lots of cartilage. Chicken drumsticks or whole carcasses are great. So are beef knuckle, joint, and marrow bones. If you're not sure which bones are best, simply ask your butcher. He or she can also special order bones for you. Experiment to find the right amount of time to cook your broth. If it doesn't turn out jiggly when chilled, try reducing or increasing your cooking time the next time. If you cook broth too long, it can break down the collagen building blocks to the point that they lose their jiggle. Conversely, if you don't cook it long enough, you won't pull enough gelatin out of the bones to get the wobble you want. Use just enough water to cover the bones. Keep your broth at a low simmer. These tips should help you produce a perfect pot of jiggly bone broth. But even if yours doesn't turn out perfect, it's fine. Jiggle or no jiggle, as long as you've cooked it for the minimum amount of time, it'll be loaded with gelatin and other fat-melting nutrients. In short, don't be the least bit intimidated by the idea of making bone broth. It's incredibly easy to make, and yours will be fabulous. So relax and get cooking. A few additional tips. The biggest key to making great bone broth is to become BFFs with your butcher. So don't be shy about getting to know the butchers at your favorite stores. In addition to making friends with your local butchers, you can find great bones by searching online for ranchers who sell them. Type in grass-fed bones, and you're likely to find some great resources nearby. If you can afford it, use bones from pastured animals. If not, don't sweat it. Just remove the skin from poultry or the fat from meat, because that's where toxins accumulate. To add more flavor to your beef broth, get some meaty bones, such as oxtails, shanks, and short ribs. And to make any broth more flavorful, you can add chicken feet. If that grosses you out, relax. You don't need to do it. If you're on a tight budget, here's a good trick. Reuse beef or poultry bones. You can get at least 2 batches of broth out of them. For fish bone broth, buy high-quality wild-caught fish. Avoid oily fish, such as salmon and mackerel, which can develop off flavors if you cook them for a long time. Instead, pick non-oily fish, such as sole, snapper, halibut, turbot, tilapia, cod, or rockfish. Often fish markets clean their own fish and throw away the bones, so ask if they'd be willing to save them for you. Refer to your PDF to find lots of bone broth recipes for your broth burning and broth loading phases. First, you'll find basic broths for your morning phase. You'll also use these broths as the base for your afternoon recipes. The morning phase broth burning recipes include beef bone broth, chicken bone broth, rotisserie chicken bone broth, seafood bone broth, and turkey bone broth. Get creative. You can spice up any of the bone broth recipes with any of the fat-burning herbs and spices from the approved list in your PDF, or any variation of the seasonings to create flavors you enjoy. For a Chinese-style broth, try a 2-inch knob of fresh ginger sliced, scallions, lemongrass, cilantro, Chinese 5-spice powder, and white pepper. For a Thai-style broth, try fresh ginger, lemongrass, scallions, makrit lime leaves, galangal, and white pepper. For a spicy broth with Mexican flavors, add cilantro, cumin, cayenne, cinnamon, coriander, and jalapenos or other chili peppers. For an Italian-style broth, add tomatoes, Italian seasoning, basil, parsley, marjoram, fennel, aniseed, and oregano. For a Greek-style broth, try oregano, sage, marjoram, savory, fennel leaves, rosemary, thyme, dill, purslin, and fresh lemon juice. To add flavors from Provence, try fresh thyme, marjoram, lavender, summer savory, mint, and rosemary. For Middle Eastern flavors, try sumac, saffron, cilantro, coriander, parsley, mint, turmeric, caraway, aniseed, fenugreek, and allspice. You will also find the following broth-loading recipes in your PDF. Beef or chicken vegetable soup, chilled cucumber soup, cauliflower vichyssoise, creamy broccoli soup, roasted red bell pepper soup, creamy tomato Florentine soup, pho, spicy Mexican soup, and watercress soup. Is your thyroid making your belly fat? Isabella Wentz, PharmD, FASCP. Pharmacist, patient advocate, and number one New York Times best-selling author of Hashimoto's Protocol, a 90-day plan for reversing thyroid symptoms and getting your life back, and Hashimoto's Thyroiditis, lifestyle interventions for finding and treating the root cause. ThyroidPharmacist.com. Many people who struggle with their weight have the common thyroid condition known as Hashimoto's thyroiditis. This condition sounds rare and exotic, yet it is present in up to 28% of our population, affecting 5 to 8 women for every man affected. Sadly, most people who have the condition don't even know they have it. Hashimoto's thyroiditis is an autoimmune condition that results in the destruction of the thyroid gland, eventually leading to hypothyroidism or an underactive thyroid. Most people with Hashimoto's have a hard time keeping weight off despite maintaining the same diet and exercise routines they have had for years. This is because the thyroid gland controls our metabolism, and even a slight deficiency in thyroid hormones, such as that caused by an immune system attack, can slow down metabolism. Most doctors tell thyroid patients that they simply need to eat less and exercise more. However, this advice can be quite detrimental and put the person's body into a deeper fat-storing mode. Unfortunately, due to improper testing, most patients are also unaware that they have thyroid disease. Most doctors only test patients using a TSH, thyroid-stimulating hormone, blood test. However, this can lead to many missed diagnoses, because the TSH result can remain normal for as long as a decade while the thyroid gland is under attack by the immune system. Thyroid antibody tests are more accurate and can reveal the metabolism-altering attack on the thyroid gland. I recommend a complete thyroid panel consisting of the following tests: TSH, free T3, free T4, thyroid peroxidase antibodies, thyroglobulin antibodies, and reverse T3. If you already know that you have a thyroid condition and or are taking thyroid hormone medications, yet are still struggling with your weight, energy level, skin, hair, or mood, I recommend a further investigation into optimizing your hormones, nutrition, gut health, adrenal health, and liver health, and addressing your underlying triggers for flare-ups. 1. Optimizing hormones. Synthetic thyroid hormone, known as Synthroid or levothyroxine, is one of the top-selling drugs in the United States. However, there are other thyroid medications that may be more effective. Synthroid contains one of the thyroid hormones, known as T4, while the hormone with the most impact on weight is T3. T4 is a precursor to T3. Which means that T3 is formed from T4, but some individuals do not convert T4 to T3 properly. Women with thyroid conditions report more weight loss with T4-T3 combination medications, such as Armour Thyroid, Nature Throid, or compounded medications, versus T4 medications alone. 2. Nutrition. While most doctors only look at calories in and calories out, I found that this approach can be very detrimental to both health and weight loss. In my research involving more than 2,000 people with thyroid disease, I've found that nutrient-dense diets free of problematic foods help people with thyroid disease feel better, lose weight, and even reduce their markers of autoimmune disorder. Gluten, dairy, and soy are the most commonly problematic foods in thyroid disease, with 88%, 80%, and 65%, respectively, of thyroid patients reporting feeling better when these foods are removed from their diet. 3. Gut health. Thyroid disease is intimately connected to gut health. I love recommending bone broth, fermented foods, and probiotics to help with resolving gut issues. New research is showing that people who are overweight have an imbalance of bacterial flora in their guts. The particular bacteria found in overweight people extract more calories from food than the bacteria of people who have a normal weight. This means you could be eating the same amount of food as your skinny friends and gaining more weight from it. Probiotics and fermented foods that contain beneficial bacteria may be helpful with balancing your bacterial flora. Additional triggers, such as toxins, an impaired stress response, chronic infections, and nutrient deficiencies, can contribute to thyroid disease and weight loss resistance. For more information on a 90-day plan that has helped thousands of people already, please check out my book, Hashimoto's Protocol: A 90-Day Plan for Reversing Thyroid Symptoms and Getting Your Life Back. Is adrenal fatigue packing pounds onto your belly? There's a good chance you haven't thought about your adrenal glands since high school biology class. However, if you want to keep belly fat off, you should know what these glands do for you and how a condition called adrenal fatigue can send them into a tailspin, making you miserable and adding inches to your belly. Here's a quick refresher. Your adrenals are two small glands that sit on top of your kidneys, a little like mushroom caps. These glands have lots of important jobs, and one is to step in when you're stressed and tell your body how to react. When your brain sends danger signals to your adrenals, they respond by cranking out adrenaline, norepinephrine, and cortisol to prepare you for a fight-or-flight reaction. This job sounds tough enough, but that's not all your adrenal glands do. They also produce a host of other hormones that affect every cell in your body. In particular, they play a big role in producing your sex hormones. And if you're a woman, they pick up the slack in making these hormones as you hit perimenopause and your ovaries produce less of them. So far, so good, but here's the problem. Your adrenal glands are designed to handle the acute stresses that our ancient ancestors faced, for instance, being chased by a lion, but not the chronic stress we face today. While these glands can deal brilliantly with brief bouts of stress, they need downtime to get back to normal. And in today's world, there's no downtime. We're constantly under low-level stress, brought on by everything from job pressures to money worries to family crises to traffic and noise. Under siege from this chronic stress, our adrenal glands crank out cortisol constantly. They're overworked, and eventually they burn out, giving rise to adrenal fatigue. They no longer produce enough hormones, and they no longer keep these hormones balanced. As a result, you pack on pounds, and you feel moody and tired and get a cortisol tire around your waist. What's the solution? Obviously, getting your stress under control is the best way to prevent or cure adrenal fatigue. In Chapter 10, I serve up some powerful ways to tame that stress. And here's another key. A healthy diet that's loaded with powerful healing foods, in particular, bone broth. Here's what this liquid gold does for your adrenal glands. Bone broth supplies a rich dose of conditional amino acids, glycine, proline, arginine, and glutamine, which your adrenal glands need to heal themselves. These are amino acids that your body can't supply in adequate quantities if it's run down. The glycine and magnesium in bone broth are calming nutrients that help ease your anxiety. Bone broth is loaded with gelatin, which helps to heal that permeable intestine or leaky gut I talked about in Chapter 1. A leaky gut, which allows toxins to escape into your bloodstream, leads to chronic system-wide inflammation, and this raises your cortisol levels, contributing to adrenal fatigue. Bone broth soothes your gut and helps make it rock solid, getting your inflammation under control. So now you have another reason to drink bone broth every day, even after you finish your 10-day belly slim down. It'll make your adrenal glands happy, and that in turn can keep a cortisol tire at bay. Bone broth and the glutamine issue. I love bone broth because it's loaded with nutrients that heal your gut, erase your wrinkles, soothe your joints, and blast your belly fat. But it also contains one nutrient that can give a few people some trouble at first. That nutrient is glutamine. And I want to talk about it with you. First, here's a little background. Glutamine is an amino acid that plays lots of roles in your body. You need glutamine to keep your immune system healthy, to help you recover from wounds and illnesses, and to build your muscles. It's also critical for healthy digestion and brain function. And here's something else to know. Even if you aren't drinking bone broth, your diet, if it's healthy, is high in glutamine. Meat, chicken, and fish are rich in it. So are such veggies as spinach and cabbage. Breast milk is a rich source of glutamine too, showing that Mother Nature wants infants to get plenty of this nutrient as well. So glutamine is already a part of your diet, and it's a good guy. However, some people can't metabolize glutamine well. This problem can stem from a variety of causes, including a severely sick gut, lead toxicity, a deficiency of vitamin B6, or overexposure to monosodium glutamate, MSG. People who have issues with glutamine may find that upping their intake of this nutrient upsets their stomach, gives them headaches, or makes them feel tired or foggy. Luckily, if you've been diagnosed with this problem, there's a simple solution. Initially, instead of drinking bone broth, switch to meat broth. This is broth you make by simmering bone-in cuts of beef, lamb, or poultry. Don't remove the bones from the meat. Because you simmer meat broth for only a few hours, 2 hours or so for poultry, 4 hours or so for beef or lamb, it has a much lower glutamine content than long-simmered bone broth. Once you detoxify your cells, give your body the nutrients it needs and build a strong gut wall, you'll be able to benefit from the healing power of bone broth. After a few weeks of drinking meat broth, start adding bone broth into your diet gradually. At first, try very small amounts, maybe a quarter cup, and increase the amount every few days. If you have any problems, go back to drinking meat broth. And here's another tip. Skim the fat from your broth after it cools. Some people who think they have an issue with glutamine actually have difficulty digesting the fat in bone broth. Try these two simple tricks, switching temporarily to meat broth and skimming the fat from your broth, and see what happens. Odds are you and bone broth will be the best of buddies in just a few weeks. Chapter 6. Dress it up with divine condiments. By now you know I'm ruthless about taking those extra pounds off you. No grains, no sugar, no dairy, no soy, no junk. No exceptions, no excuses. Well, guess what? Now I'm going to lay down yet another law. Here it is. You must use no unapproved condiments. That includes just about all commercial versions of mayonnaise, ketchup, and salad dressings. This is one of those times when I know you might be tempted to cheat. After all, you're thinking, seriously, how much damage can a teeny tiny spoonful of ranch dressing, ketchup, or mayo really do? Unfortunately, the answer is a lot. Face it, the condiments you get at the grocery store are mostly just awful. If you doubt me, go to your fridge right now and pull out random bottles. Now read the ingredient lists on the back of them. Even if you're using the top brands, you'll see such ingredients as artificial colors, MSG, partially hydrogenated soybean oil, high fructose corn syrup, gluten, cornstarch, emulsifiers, and fillers. Just reading the label on your ranch dressing may give you a heart attack, never mind actually eating it. If you're still reluctant to give up your favorite condiments, let me offer you a little more incentive. Here's just some of the damage the additives in condiments can do to you. Food companies use additives called emulsifiers to blend ingredients together. Often, condiments are loaded with synthetic emulsifiers. In one recent experiment, scientists fed two of them with the yummy names of polysorbate 80 and carboxymethylcellulose to mice. The result? The mice got fat and sick. Many condiments are swimming in high fructose corn syrup, HFCS. HFCS is a real belly fat bad boy, packing fat onto you even faster than sugar does. One researcher studying its effects on rats said, "These rats aren't just getting fat. They're demonstrating characteristics of obesity, including substantial increases in abdominal fat and circulating triglycerides." MSG, found in hundreds of condiments, is an excitotoxin that overstimulates your brain, causing it to produce too much dopamine. Certain condiment additives, when mixed together, can act synergistically to damage your brain cells. Ounce for ounce, commercial condiments are one of the worst food groups in the world when it comes to making you fat and sick. The sugars and other unhealthy additives in them are so concentrated that even a teaspoon or two can lead to an additive overdose. Luckily, I have good news. It's far easier than you think to make your own condiments and salad dressings. You don't need to be an iron chef to do it. You just need a few minutes and a good recipe. What's more, you're going to love how much better the do-it-yourself versions are than that stale, additive-loaded stuff in a bottle. I'll show you how to dress up your 10-day belly slim-down meals with creamy mayo, tangy vinaigrettes, and ranch dressing for salads or dipping. Each recipe is yummy, and trust me, you'll never miss all those additives. Once again, refer to your PDF for my 10-day belly slim-down condiments and salad dressings. The recipes include avocado oil mayonnaise, dairy-free creamy ranch dressing, sweet Vidalia onion vinaigrette, kimchi, and tomato vinaigrette. Three commercial condiments that pass my tough test. While most commercial condiments are dreadful, you can find versions that are super healthy if you're willing to look for them. Here are three of the best. Salsa. It's easy to find fresh, additive-free salsas at a regular supermarket these days. You can also find additive-free jarred versions at health food stores. Avocado mayo. As the demand for this condiment skyrockets, more and more stores now carry it. For instance, Costco carries Chosen Foods avocado mayo, and a growing number of stores carry Primal Kitchen mayo. You can also buy avocado mayo online. Mustard. This is one condiment that manufacturers actually get right much of the time. Read the labels and make sure all the ingredients are clean and natural. Chapter 7. Get it done with fat-busting shakes. What's better than a rich, creamy, ice-cold shake from your favorite fast food joint? A shake that's actually good for you and melts your belly fat, too. On the 10-Day Belly Slim Down, you're going to indulge in a smooth, delicious shake every single day. And you're going to burn belly fat at the same time. What's the secret? Simply replace that unhealthy ice cream with beautiful, clean protein or collagen powder in a flavor you love. Chocolate, vanilla, coffee, or maybe even orange. Add a little natural sweetness from blueberries, monk fruit sweetener, or stevia, if you like. Next, toss in two handfuls of your favorite leafy greens. Spinach is one of my top choices because it adds satisfying fiber without changing the taste of your shake. Add a dose of healthy fat, which will give your shake that creamy consistency you crave. And you have a cool, sweet drink that will transport you back to your childhood as it melts your belly fat off you. In your PDF, you'll find 11 variations on a basic shake, all delicious and all packed with fat-burning power. You can have a different shake every day or repeat your favorites. It's totally up to you. Enjoy! 10-Day Belly Slim Down Shake recipes you will find in your PDF include Belly Busting Shake, Berry Shake, Chocolate Almond Shake, Chocolate Coconut Shake, Thick and Creamy Chocolate Mint Shake, Coconut Matcha Shake, Creamy Orange Shake, Hot Chocolate Shake, Latte Shake, Ginger Spice Shake, and Vanilla Spice Shake. Why you should say no to whey. I know that whey protein is hugely popular, and you'll see jars and jars of it in your health food store. But in reality, whey isn't a health food, and you're better off avoiding it. Whey is the liquid that remains when milk is curdled and strained to make cheese. Many people think that eating whey is fine on a dairy-free diet because it doesn't contain casein, the milk protein that's most likely to cause sensitivity. But casein is only part of the story. There are three forms of whey protein. Whey protein concentrate, whey protein isolate, and whey protein hydrolysate. Whey protein concentrate contains significant amounts of the milk sugar lactose, which can cause gas, bloating, and diarrhea. Whey protein isolate and whey protein hydrolysate, which are more highly refined products, are nearly or entirely lactose-free, but they can still cause GI problems, because many people are allergic to whey itself. In fact, whey is the second most allergenic protein in milk. In addition to its potential to be allergenic, whey protein powder often has added thickeners. These too can cause gas and cramping. In comparison, beef protein gives you the high-quality nutrition you want without exposing you to lactose or whey. So you get the benefits of a protein supplement without allergy symptoms or that embarrassing